The views, opinions, and comments expressed by hosts, guests, and callers of this show are not necessarily those of this station, its parent company, TeleSouth Media, its staff, management, or advertisers. Content of this broadcast cannot be duplicated or used in any way without the express written consent of TeleSouth Media Incorporated.
Well, it's safe to say we probably never met. Even still, if a betting man was I'd bet every single one of us have found ourselves standing in the storms of life, soaking wet, but do not fret. Chin up, my friend, a little bit of rain is not how this thing ends, but sometimes we forget. So if you understand, let me see those hands, 'cause everybody needs a little hope.
Brett, welcome to Hope, the program that offers hope to the struggling, hope for the depressed, and hope for the oppressed. Now here are your hosts, Tommy Wilson, Bobby Capps, and Ronnie Martin.
Well, good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our show, Hope. I'm Tommy Wilson, Director of Living Free Ministries. I'm downtown Corinth with some of my good friends. Unfortunately, Ronnie Martin ain't here with us today, so Ronnie ain't with us, but he is in one of the schools meeting with Job Corps people and trying to get us a connection with that. So Ronnie is actually working today, Bobby. And I am here with Bobby Capps, who is the director of Crosswind Ministries and also our biblical counselor at the Freedom Center and also our personal counselor. He does everything but mows the yard, Sheriff. And we've got our good friend, Sheriff Ben Caldwell, here with us today, and we welcome you to the show, Sheriff, and glad to have you.
Hey, it's good to be here, Tommy. Yeah. Thank you.
So, Bobby, tell us right off the bat, I used a big word, our biblical counselor.
Mm.
What is that?
Well, we just think that God's word is sufficient to not only diagnose what your problem is, so the Bible says that it discerns the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So the intent of my heart is my problem. You know, it's like something happens to me, and when something happens to me, it exposes my heart. So if I get ticked off, my heart got exposed. If I get jealous, my heart got exposed. And so there's so that we believe that God's word is sufficient to not only diagnose, you know, what's wrong with me, but also tell me, you know, what the cure is. And so We listen to the world of secular counseling, and of course, you know, I'm a student of it, so I understand the descriptions of different things, mental health problems that people have, and all time troubles that we have. But at the end of the day, our job as biblical counselors is to say, well, how would God help the person with that problem? And then to show them from the scripture how he does it.
Can I give an example and maybe you
sure.
can take that and run?
Sure.
Monday mornings, you do group at the Freedom Center. And I'm always there. I come for that group. And I made this statement, and I used the word I said, I believe you can tell where somebody is by their language, by the way they're talking. You came back and said, well, let me rephrase that for you, and let me tell you how the scripture says that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And
so what the Bible says is use your talk to build people up, not to put them down, right? And so the thing is that what that means is that, and then I went back and showed where Jesus shows that out of the heart the mouth speaks, right? So so it is true. I can look at somebody's heart by listening to their mouth. Right. And are you encouraging people? Are you building people up? You know what I mean? Are you using your words in a way to love someone, to lift them, to correct them, help them straighten them out? You know what I mean? Or are you using your words, you know, in a foolish way? And what happens is that everything essentially is just a big heart expose. Right. And so my life exposes my heart, period. So the way I think about a guy, you know, some homeless guy who's annoying, my response to him is a reflection of my heart, not a reflection of his condition. He's homeless and annoying. You know what I mean? But my response to him reflects who I am, not who he is.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus told us.
So in other words, take the word I out and put to what the scripture
says. What God says.
Yeah. So that's
and the other
good,
thing
yeah.
I said, the other thing I often say in our groups is, I really don't care what you think, nor do I care what I think.
Yeah.
I care what God says.
I hear you say that a lot too. Yeah. But so that's, and Bobby is over the Freedom Center as far as counseling. Bobby, right now you got 14 guys there. You tell me often that you like when the pot is stirred. Like if there's a little, you know, the sheriff's sitting here on the right hand side. I mean, he likes it when nothing's stirring, nothing. He kind of likes it calm and peaceful.
That's right.
Bobby kind of likes it when the pot's stirred a little bit, Sheriff.
So, yeah, we like that. There's that sheen over the top.
First thing I asked the sheriff was, how was your night? Was it pretty peaceful?
It wasn't too.
Well, Bobby don't like it to be peaceful.
Well, let me tell you why. It's simple. We're in a very sheltered environment in the rehab. You know, I mean, guys are loving on them. You're hearing the word all the time. They don't have access to drugs, you know, alcohol, whatever was pouring, whatever's troubling them, they don't have access to it. Even relationships that might have been problematic. And so what happens is we're like teaching them a lot about stuff, but they don't have any practical way to like live it out. But when some little kerfluffle happens, well, then they're like, oh, see how you responded to that? See how you responded to that? Because on the outside, where these guys are going to be in a couple weeks, you know what I mean? We want them to learn while they're with us how to really respond in a godly way to whatever's going on in their life. Because if they can learn how to respond in a godly way to whatever's going on in their life, they're going to be fine.
Well, and now, Bobby, you have the biggest crowd we've had there.
Yes.
For example.
Oh, by the way, I was thinking, I will take the lawnmower job if you'll do all the other stuff.
Yeah. 14 guys in a 12-bed facility. So you have an opportunity now to really have the pot stirred. Yeah. But we're excited. I think it's a time for our team to grow. It's a time for us to learn, as our vision for the future is to expand over on Central School Road with a building maybe housing up from 24 to 30 guys. And, you know, that just changes everything for who we are and what we do. But I think right now is the time of that, but we still can help people. If you need help, if you're tired of living that type life, if you feel like you need to be in a residential facility, go to our webpage, CorinthFreedomCenter.com, fill that application out. Our man, Ronnie Martin, will get in touch with you. We're connected to facilities all across North Mississippi, South Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama. We can get you in a facility. Men or women, we can help you. And also, we have support group meetings at Living Free Ministries on Monday night and Thursday night for you. So we want to help. We will help if you'll allow us. You just have to reach out to us, okay? But we've got the sheriff here with us today, and we're going to get into what he does and who he is and all that in the second and third segment. And Sheriff, again, welcome to our show. But tell us right off the bat, how many years you been sheriff now?
I'm in, just started my 10th year, so in my third term. We completed 9 full years as sheriff. And
didn't even have an opponent last time.
No, fortunately, I did not. So
yeah.
That's always good.
Oh, yeah, that's good. So he's been our sheriff for 10 years, and we've been working with him for 10 years, and we're thankful for our partnership and friendship with him. I seen him at the basketball game last night. I seen your dad at the basketball game.
Yep.
Your dad was circuit clerk here for...
He was circuit clerk here for 20 years.
Yeah, and I think he was still campaigning last night.
He campaigns every day.
When I seen him going to the concession stand.
He said it's easy to campaign when he likes people. And he likes people. You know, he just loves people.
Yeah. So we're going to get into that and asking the sheriff some questions. Maybe you got a comment or question for the sheriff. You can text that to 662-603-9829. Any comment about today's show or something you want to ask the sheriff, that's 662-603-9829. Listen, you can listen to our show anywhere in the world. If you're out of town or traveling, if you've got friends that you just want to connect to our show, it's Super Talk Todd FM Corinth. Every Thursday I'm gone, I listen to this show. So you can click on supertalk.fm Corinth and listen to this show every Thursday. You can go back and listen to some of our shows. If you want to grab the sheriff's show like tomorrow, you can go to livingfreecorinth.com. We've got a podcast page there. It actually says listen on our webpage. Click that. Go. It'll pull up all of our radio shows from the past. We've been doing this radio show now for over 4 years.
And we title them by name. So if you just look like Sheriff Ben Caldwell, that's what our title will be this week. And so,
The sheriff's name will be at the top of that this week. So it gives you opportunity to see that and go back and listen to any of it. Big shout out to my granddaughter. Sister is a year old today. I said this morning, 25 years ago, God allowed me to become a dad to a little girl, leave you then. And I just thought that was the best. But, man, he put a cherry on the top. He gave me a granddaughter a year ago, and for the last year I've watched my daughter be a mom. And she's going to – that little girl is going to be Olivia made over. So I'm thinking to have a lot of fun just watching that. But, listen, we get to do this show because of all of our sponsors, and this community is really good to us. Sheriff, Daniel Authors is – supporter of our show and supporter of our ministry, the local Subways. I know you and him's friends, Kasu friends there stuff. Right. So shout out to Daniel. Go buy any of the Subways there and get you a foot-long meatball, or just buy a dozen cookies and drop them off at our store. Outpost Outdoors, for any outdoor needs, you there in Pickwick, if you like ride side-by-sides or camping, check out Outpost Outdoors. Gatlin's Pharmacy, Bart Dorn, Bart and Dawn Dorn there, and Tisha Mingo at their drugstore is supporters. They're friends. We're grateful for Bart and Dawn. Hudson Window Solution, Perry Hudson for any of your window needs. Wilco Real Estate Group, Maria and her team. Maria told me this morning she had a busy day tomorrow. Real estate market's good. If you got any real estate buying and selling, reach out to my wife, Maria, my daughter, Olivia, or any of that team on Wilco Real Estate Group. Nick Bain, Nick is a friend, and I'm thankful for our friendship with Nick. We use him for a lot of our legal needs, and I encourage you to do that. Crosswind Ministries, Bobby, y'all been in community over 20 years now. So Crosswind Ministries, they've been in town helping people for a long time. And my mattress store right there on Highway 72, there we've got a mattress of the month sale going on. We got some top name brand mattresses on sale this month for $399, kings and queens. Hey, the sheriff sleeps on a mattress he bought from my store. I sleep on a mattress from my store. Bobby, Bobby sleeps on a mattress from that store. Listen, you got to come 3 miles west of High Prices to get that kind of deal. So we're going to take a break. We're coming back with the Sheriff Ben Caldwell.
Estate Group is a full-service real estate agency located in downtown Corinth. Our agents service all of Northeast Mississippi and Southwest Tennessee, including the Pickwick Lake area. If you would like to talk real estate, please call or text us at 662-415-5922. You can also email us at info@wilcocorinth.com. You can also check out our website for some free content on the home buying or home selling process at wilcocorinth.com.
If you live in Tishomingo, Belmont, Iuka, Burnsville, and the surrounding area, Gatlin's Pharmacy, 18 First Avenue in Tishomingo, is your one stop for all your pharmacy needs. Gatlin's Pharmacy has programs available that will save you time and money. They offer a discount program that is unique to our area. Do you have a parent or loved one who needs help keeping up with their medicines? Gatlin's Pharmacy will do the work for you. They will package your prescriptions for date and time and deliver them to you. Give Gatlin's Pharmacy a call and find out why they are way more than just a pharmacy. Gatlin's Pharmacy, 662-438-6605. Bain & Bowen, attorneys at law, are proud to be a part of this program. At Bain & Bowen, they know that going through a legal dispute can be a frustrating and scary process. They can help you with a wide range of legal issues, including criminal cases, divorce and family law issues, as well as personal injury cases. Bain & Bowen, attorneys at law, will pursue the best course of action and get you the outcome you deserve. For all your legal needs, call Bain & Bowen at 662-287-1620. That's 286-1620.
Hi, it's Tommy Wilson, Living Free Ministries, here in Corinth, Mississippi. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." At Living Free Ministries, we want to help you to understand how to renew your mind through a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to take you out of addiction and take you into peace, promise, and joy. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Check us out, livingfreecorinth.com.
Now back to Hope with Tommy Wilson, Bobby Capps, and Ronnie Martin.
Well, we welcome you back to our second segment of this show today. We've got a special guest. We got Sheriff Ben Caldwell with us today. Bobby Capps is here with me, and we're glad to have the sheriff. Sheriff, again, you said you've been here 10 years. You're in your 10th year.
In my 10th year,
right
year. Yep, yep.
And so, I mean, you've got it all figured out, I guess.
Got it all, yeah. Well, got it all figured out.
Yeah.
Every morning I think that, Tommy.
Yeah.
And about an hour later, I realize.
Yeah, in reality.
Until you get in your car.
Yeah, yep. After I brush my teeth, then I think, oh.
So, Sheriff, tell us a little bit. What is your daily scout? I mean, what's it like to walk in your shoes as sheriff of a county?
It's it changes every day. So what I, you know, get up and get going, and I try to get out and go to breakfast, kind of get out in the community. And then before I go to the office, I try to get out and ride. I try to ride different areas of the county and just kind of see what's going on out there.
Well, I can say this, Sheriff, you are involved in the community. I see you at basketball games. I see you. I mean, I see you everywhere.
Well, Tommy, I've got a 10th grade daughter and an 11th grade son, and my daughter plays basketball, volleyball, and does dance, and my son plays football and baseball, and so I have no choice but to be involved in the community.
And then you're involved in the church there on the highway.
Yep, go to a member there at Gaines Chapel Global Methodist Church.
Yeah.
They're right there across from Cracker Barrel. Great church. It's a country church in town, man.
Yeah.
I tell you. Great people.
So,
country
but church I see you in a restaurant somewhere. You're a sheriff. I do see.
I try to get out and I work for the citizens of Alcorn County. I mean, that's who I work for. It's their office. I'm just the man they put there to answer the phones and respond to the emails.
Well, but, in my wild day, I walked this morning, so I was thinking about some questions I could ask you and just. Praying for you, Sheriff, and we pray for our sheriff. So we lift up you and Sheriff Randy Toler and the sheriff there in Tishomingo.
Yeah, Jamie Stewart.
Yeah, he's a good
sheriff.
Too.
Yes, sir.
So in your county here is a big county.
Well, actually, it's the smallest county in the state of Mississippi by landmass. So 401 square miles. It's the smallest, but it's. You know, it's middle of the road there in population, 38,000 people.
Yeah, well,
and
you've got more in Tishomingo and Prentice.
Population-wise,
but just less land to travel.
Less land to travel, but still, it's a big county.
Yeah. And so when I in my running days, Sheriff, and thank goodness I got saved and my life was changed way before you come on the scene. I'm 59.
Yeah.
So, I got saved at 32, but in my days, you know, when you get pulled over, Randy Toler, man, he used to just chase. every time I looked up, Randy Toler was around. Yeah. But you just fit when you met the sheriff, man, and you know, the sheriff would pull you over and stuff. Oh, you. But it's a different life now, man. The sheriff's so much of an administration job.
Yeah, I don't get to have the fun of getting out there and going to calls and I do, you know, major, especially something that's a major call.
Yeah.
I try to go, but most of the time, you're talking about at the sheriff's office, almost just over $2 million budget there. The prison, you know, $3 to $4 million, and then we have the juvenile detention center. I've got over 80 employees.
Yeah,
and so I don't get to saddle up my horse and ride the county as much as I'd like to.
Even in the midst of storms, you're the one that's putting out there that this shelter's open when the courthouse was up.
So I'm more of just the figurehead. I tell my guys, we just had a meeting not too long ago. I was like, look, you guys make me. My name's on all those cars.
Yeah.
And so I get calls all the time. Hey, I saw you over here. I saw you. Yeah. That's my deputies are out there and the Constitution says I can appoint deputies and they act as me out there. So,
yeah.
I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't have the reputation I have if it wasn't for the men and women that work for me.
So you've had, like, your we was just talking about your jail, your warden there, Josh. He's been with you from about day one?
Yep, he's been with me for day one. Not always in that warden position. He started out just kind of assistant warden, and he moved up pretty quickly.
And then Dusty?
Yep, I got my chief deputy, Dusty Eshery, my chief investigator, Heath Thomas. You know, I've got my chief of security at the prison. Edward Evans hasn't been as long. We've had a couple people in that spot. He's a great guy. I mean, he's just super.
Miss Betty's been there longer.
Miss Betty's been there a long. She's been there longer than I have. Miss Betty's been there longer than I have. And she,
we care of them donuts.
That's right. She's a great. She's great.
So, how many? So how many deputies like today, Sheriff, on the patrol? And then you've got a deputy in each school.
Yep. So right now we have three deputies out there on patrol. After about 1 o'clock, we've got some part-time guys that come in, and so I'll have four out there from, like, you know, one to one, one p.m. to 1 a.m. And then I've got a deputy in each school, one at Kossuth, one at Biggersville, one at Central.
Name them deputies.
So at Kossuth, we got Deputy Adam Wrencher.
Yeah.
We got Fred Gooch at Biggersville, and we've got Daryl Bullard at Central. And I tell you what, originally my plan was is they were going to rotate each semester. They were going to rotate, so they just didn't, you know. But, man, I tell you what, those schools love those deputies.
Oh, man.
Those deputies love
it's
those
a
kids.
Big deal.
And so I think if I moved one of them, I probably would have a lot of opponents.
You have more emails.
Yeah, I had those calls. Hey, if you move them, we're going to vote against you.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, you know, when I first moved here, and I've been in Corinth 26 years now, and Corinth's home. Corinth's really good to me. I love where I live at. I support our county. But the best advertisement I've ever seen was when I first moved here. Mars Crawley. Mars said he was on a commercial TV or something, and he said, "You care a little more when your name's on the door."
That's right.
And your name's on all them vehicles. Yeah. I was at the rib shack the other day, and a deputy pulled through there, and your name's on that car. Yeah. And so you care a little more when that name's on your car.
Yeah, you know, that's true. And like I said, that's important to me to have the right people out there. And I think we have a great team. And that's what it is. It's a team.
Well, So what today, Sheriff, here in February 2025, your deputies is out patrolling, meeting folks. They're involved in our community. What's your biggest problem on the roads, in your communities? What causes you the biggest headache?
It's still the drugs. It's still methamphetamine. We're seeing a lot more fentanyl. And from that, you know, we see the burglaries, the thefts. A lot of it is petty thefts. And we're seeing a lot more people walking the streets. I don't know if they think if they know, hey, if I'm in a car, they can pull me over. It's easier to get probable cause to pull me over. Whereas walking, and it's not against the law to walk down the road. And so it's, you know, we can get out with those people and have a conversation. But if we don't have probable cause, you know, we can't search them. We can't, you know, check their ID unless we have probable cause that they've committed a crime. And so that makes it harder for us because we know some of these guys are out up to no good. But my daughter, she got her driver's license. She turned 16 last week. She got her driver's license Monday. And I was taking her there, and we saw four or five people walking, you know, just from the jail kind of to Northeast Extension Center there. And she's like, "My God," she said, "Dad, how many people walk?" I'm like,
"One day this week, just on the overhead bridge there at McDonald's, there was three people walking. The one moment I passed over the bridge."
Yeah.
Now, out in Farmington, I've been picking up a young boy every morning. I see him or something. Last week or a couple of weeks ago when it was cold, I pick some of these guys up and just carry them because, I mean, especially if it's 20 degrees.
Yeah, and look, I'm not saying that everybody walking is a criminal because there's just a lot of people that walk now. Yeah. And they don't have a car. They don't have a way to go. So that's what they do.
How many people do you have in jail today, do you know?
I don't have the exact number, but it's right at 100.
In the county jail.
Yeah, we average about 110, 115.
But you also oversee the state prison here.
Right, yeah. So we average about 115 in the county jail, and that's, you know, county, city inmates that are waiting to go to trial, that are there, you know, that have, you know, missed a court date and have a failure to appear warrant. but we also have the regional correction facility. And that's where we house inmates for the state of Mississippi, MDOC inmates. They've been convicted of a crime. They have been sentenced to serve time. And so we have about 300 there.
300. So you're looking at 400 people that's in that building.
Yeah.
On that campus.
On that campus.
That you're in charge of their safety.
Yes, sir.
Really? So, and...
And I want to give a shout out to my staff there at the jail. We just, every 3 years, we're required to have an accreditation from the American Correctional Association. State requires us to have that, to house state inmates. And we just did that back in September, October. And we passed with 100% proficiency.
100%. Awesome.
Hey, you can't get better than 100.
Mm-mm.
And so that's...
Wow,
that's
killed it.
That's my warden. That's Inga Gray is my ACA manager. Mm. And my whole staff there, they worked their tails off to get that done.
Yeah, that's a big shout-out. That's unbelievable. We've been on both sides. You got a great guy that's a chaplain there.
Yeah, Tim Wood does an excellent job as chaplain.
You may not know it, but I do his weddings for him. They have weddings once a year. And that's just something they have to do. But
that's in the regional, on the state inmates. The MDOC requires it. We don't allow weddings in the county jail.
On the county,
yeah.
But so I helped Tim out. Our Truett does the AD program there for us. Me and Bobby done it before COVID. So I tell you, it's a really run.
You know, not just the alcohol and drug program or the chaplain program, but we also partner with Northeast Community College.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have 6 to 8 inmates every semester going through classes.
Yeah.
And
there was a guy when I was doing classes out there who had got his associate's, bachelor's, master's, and was working on his doctorate the whole time. He had a pretty long sentence, and he had just really leaned in. This dude was brilliant. He was so engaging, so great to talk to, and so there's some guys that are really trying to make the best of their time, and I'm thankful for that.
And we don't just let anybody that's there do that.
No,
they have to earn that right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if they've been in trouble, they don't get to take those classes. So
they don't. If they get in trouble, they don't get married either.
No. They gotta follow the rules.
Yeah. And when you mean by that, you mean in trouble while they're in there.
While they're in there. Yeah. So everybody's been in trouble to get there.
I'm just clarifying.
You got an older lady that's been there a long time. And I hated to say that, but
Miss Myra Burns teaches our GED program. She's a retired teacher from Corinth.
Oh, man, she is.
She does a good job with our GED program.
We're sorry, Miss Myra. I'll hit him.
Yeah,
see, hear that? Hear that noise? That's for me hitting.
And I didn't, just because you said older lady, I didn't.
I'm going through
my teachers.
She is a special person.
She is.
She's been there a long time too. Listen, we've got the Sheriff Ben Caldwell. We're thankful for him. We're thankful that the Lord put him in our county here. Been the sheriff for 10 years. We're going to come back after a break. We're going to talk about the mental health crisis and what a big push on him about that is too. So we're going to come back with our sheriff. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bobby Capps from Crosswind. Crosswind's a ministry that started here in town after Katrina just to help people. We just help people in a lot of different ways. We do group counseling. We do counseling at the rehabs. We do counseling in the prison. We take care of homeless people that come to our community and provide them with connections to people who can house them or get them a bottle of water or some food, whatever they need. And we just try to be here to say that if you're on down and out, we can help. Or we can point you to someone who can.
This is Angel Quinn from Crosswind. Crosswind also hosts other opportunities in our community, including after-school tutoring and a local subsidized apartment complex. We partner with Oasis Medical Center and One by One Ministries to mentor and educate new and expectant moms. And we offer a community clothes closet. We're all about equipping volunteers to serve in our community. And we also have The Gathering, which is a weekly worship service on Sunday nights at 5 p.m. If you are in need of help, please contact Crosswind at 662-287-5600 or stop by our office located at 703 Tate Street in Corinth.
Bain & Bowen, attorneys at law, are proud to be a part of this program. At Bain & Bowen, they know that going through a legal dispute can be a frustrating and scary process. They can help you with a wide range of legal issues, including criminal cases, divorce and family law issues, as well as personal injury cases. Bain & Bowen, attorneys at law, will pursue the best course of action and get you the outcome you deserve. For all your legal needs, call Bain & Bowen at 662-287-1620. That's 286-1620.
Hey folks, I'm Tommy Wilson, Car Matches Furniture Outlet right here in Carr, Mississippi. And look, we've got big news for 2025. We got a Mattress of the Month sale every month. And guess what? It's February and I've got a big deal going on. King and Queens and a top name brand mattress, $399. You heard that right, $399 in a top name brand, King and Queens. Listen, you got to come 3 miles west of high prices to get that deal.
Now back to Hope with Tommy Wilson, Bobby Capps, and Ronnie Martin.
Well, we welcome you back. It's our third segment with Sheriff Ben Caldwell. Let me give you our phone number, 662-603-9829. My son did text, and he said that he thought that this, you could listen to us on most podcast platforms. He says it's on Spotify now. So I don't know what that is. So, I mean, I'm learning something every day.
That means we're out there, Tommy.
Hey, can I set this next segment up,
yes,
Sheriff? So here's a challenge. You know, one of the things that us people who are Jesus people know is that you're there because God ordained your job. So in every country across the world, God has ordained people like you to keep the peace, if you will. You're doing something that God set up, and so that means it's good, and that means it's right, and that means it's righteous. But it is a function, like we wouldn't need you if there wasn't sin in the world and if we weren't fallen and broken. And there's a job that God gave you to do, and it's really to keep the good, you know, the bad guys from the good guys, keep people from being hurt by people in the community. And you have, and that's a job that all of you guys take serious. But here's the challenge. The challenge is that you also don't dehumanize these guys, and you don't think that they're nobodies, and you don't think that they might not turn around and get their lives together, and you really want that for them because you're also godly men and you love the guys that you work with. You know, many of you, I know that you are. And so when guys are coming to you and then they're in that messed up version of their life, causing trouble everywhere, and you have to correct them, Then also there's this care side that you really do care about. I've seen this with judges, and I mean, like, I just see it throughout all the whole system. You know, our police, you know, they'll pull up on a guy like, come on, man, you know, when are you going to turn it around? You know what I mean? I got to take you in. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, how do you draw those lines? And I know that's not the exact answer, but how do you do it in your own hearts? Because you've been doing it a long time. And then we want to transition and talk to you about, like, but how do you care for somebody who's done a crime and who's also very mentally ill,
yep,
and who, like, won't respond to anything a normal inmate may be able to respond to?
Yeah, that's something that I've struggled with, I guess, my whole career is, you know, we get jaded and we get that crust over our heart where, you know, everybody we deal with is just – they're not helpable.
Yeah.
You know, you can't help them. And, you know, before I was sheriff, I worked for the Mississippi Bureau of Narcotics for almost 8 years. And I worked at the Corinth Police Department working narcotics. And so I've dealt with people, on their worst days. And for 20 years, that's had those problems. And I find it, you know, I go to church at Gaines Chapel, and we have where it's located right there at 72 and 45. We have a lot of people come up looking for help. And it was, man, I just would look at them. I'm like, you know, get out of here. Why are you driving through here if you don't have any money?
Yeah.
And so I've really had to pray about that and to just turn my heart over to the Lord and just say, hey, here's $20 and not think about that part. But as far as doing this job, I think the older I get, you know, the older my kids get, and I see family members, and I see that, you know, this can happen to anybody. And one simple mistake.
It does.
That's right. I have moms that come in my office, and they have a son that's a doctor, and their other son is in prison because he has been a drug addict and a thief his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is one simple thing can turn that around that way. So obviously there's something that could turn it back the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I try to remind myself of that every day is, hey, this person is a human being. And we talk about that when you guys bring those meals and Christmas.
Yeah.
And everybody needs to see that love of Christ. And look, we're going to follow the law, and we're going to do what's right. And if they need to go to jail, we're going to put them in jail, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure they go to prison. That's what God ordained you to do. But we also hope that they can turn around.
Yeah.
I said it when I worked narcotics. You know, somebody said, hey, man, we can't get this guy. We can't get it. You know, what if we did it this way? I'm like, no, we're going to do it the right way. Because, hey, if he retires from being a drug dealer before we catch him, that's our goal is for them not to do it anymore. So it's not, we're not targeting that individual. We're targeting that crime.
I carried two of our guys to a basketball game Monday night. And we're riding down the road. We're talking about Sheriff Ben Caldwell, Sheriff Randy Toler. Toler told me a long time ago. He said, Tommy, he's been in law enforcement for 40 years.
Yeah, longer than that. He's older than me. Well, he's an old man.
He's older than I am.
He's an old man, right, Tommy?
Yeah. So, hey, and he said, you know, I'm arresting some of the same people today as I did 40 years ago.
Yep.
You don't want that. The only thing you really want is for them to get their lives. And this is what I told my two guys Monday night. Only thing the sheriff wants is for y'all to get your lives straight and let them.
Yeah, I don't get a bonus for having more people in jail and for sending more people to prison.
No.
I mean, I just want them to quit. Yeah. I want them to stop. I want the people, the citizens of this county, to be able to live peacefully and not have to worry about, you know, having their stuff taken or you know, being assaulted.
Run over
and,
or being run off in the
deal. So that's why we do what we do. It's not so we don't get a enjoyment out of locking somebody
up. We do.
Up.
I mean, you know, I just like when you said that, you know, my thought went back to, everybody talks about the good old days when they didn't have to lock their car and they didn't have to lock the door of their house. And you know what I mean? It's like, and could walk in the park without ever, you know, looking and making sure nobody's going to bother.
That's because they weren't hearing about it. It's always been there.
No, sin's always been here. Yeah. We've always been messed up. That's right. But it does feel like, you know, that like we're on edge a little bit more. We were talking about, like, you know, some of the violence that happens that now wouldn't have happened just because we're just so afraid, you know what I mean? And I don't know if it's social media or our media or something that heightens all our sensitivities, but people are a lot more on the edge of the seat than they used to be, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. I think it is social media. It's seeing, you know, you're seeing what's going on all across the country.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's been there. It's always been there, but people see it more, and so they're more afraid. And so they're less likely, if somebody comes up and knocks on their door, to go answer it and let them use their phone because that person has a flat tire.
Yeah.
But you also think, well, why don't they use their cell phone? Well, not everybody has a cell phone. Not everybody has
the
means to do that.
Yeah.
And so it is dangerous now because, you know, people have a right to protect their person and their property. And
when I was growing up, or even I can go back. My son Preston's 30 years old. My daughter's 25. I can remember the days they just leave our house, walk to George's there at Farmington, walk as far. We didn't care. If we seen people out walking then, it was kids walking.
Yeah, we used to.
And when I rode a bicycle to the city park every day when I was a kid, but I mean, you just don't see that now.
No, we used to ride our horses. My dad lives right there at the edge of city limits on Highway 2. And we would ride our horses down Highway 2 and my grandma's. And I wouldn't let my kids do it now.
Let me ask you a couple questions. And, Bobby, you run with this if you want to. The mental health. We was talking about the mental health situation within our program. But you deal with it on a large scale because, I mean, people's calling you every day, probably, Sheriff. How can I get my son committed? How can I get my daughter? What can I do, Sheriff, to get someone committed, or we've got, you know, you may arrest somebody for possession of meth. Their mom comes and say, Sheriff, he's got mental problems.
Yep.
What can we do?
Yeah, we're seeing, we see a lot more of it. And then just in the last, you know, over the last 9 years, 10 years, it's increased. We're seeing a lot more that there are people that have mental health issues that we deal with. And that's through, you know, the Chancery Clerk's office handles the mental commitments. They work with Timber Hills Region 4, do that. You know, when those people are committed, we're the ones that go out and pick them up and take them either to the, you know, the hospital, to their mental health floor, or to the crisis center, or to the state hospital in Tupelo, other places. And,
but let me give a little PSA for you. The jail's not a psych ward.
No.
So don't try to get the sheriff to bring your guy because
do you have to hold
them? We used to. And so, and we still do, there was some laws that changed last year.
Good.
So used to, if you went out and your grandmother had Alzheimer's and you went and did a mental commitment on her and the judge ordered her to be mentally committed and there wasn't a bed at the hospital and there wasn't a bed at the crisis center, then that person, then she would come to my jail. I've had, you know, elderly people, I've had, people that are, you know, disabled in that jail. Because that was the only place they had to put them, and it was protection for themselves and others.
Yeah.
That's not where they need to be.
Right. No. Well, and so, your staff, you know, your staff. Do you have mental health practitioners on your staff?
I mean, all my staff are trained how to
crisis
handle, but they're not mental health counselors.
Staff,
You know, Timber Hills would send those doctors in, but now last year they changed that law. The state did, and so they. The jail is the last option, and if it is an option, the judge has to specifically say that person is to be held in jail, and it can't be for more than 24 hours.
It's just till you find a place to take them.
And then they can extend that one time for 24 hours more. So 48 hours is the longest that person can stay in my jail on a mental health. But now we transport them, you know, maybe to Pearl. To wherever,
So you do. A big relief for you.
Oh, that's and there's still some things that need to be worked on. There's that the system, is still needs some work. It's not perfect.
And if you look at it,
but it keeps me from having somebody in my jail for 2 weeks.
That's right. But the other piece
only
too,
there for
though,
mental
is
health.
On the pickup, like you see a lot of times that mental health people that are not stable can be very dangerous, and y'all have to get them. Keep them safe, transport them, so it is a burden, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But what about guys that actually end up in jail with meth induced psychosis
or
something like that?
Because that mental health, and that doesn't count for people who commit crimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you commit a crime,
then you're still going to jail, even if you have mental health problems.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so we have those in there, and it's a struggle for us because, we talked about it earlier. Is you have somebody who has drug-induced psychosis, that they've been on meth so long it's just fried their brain, and they're not thinking right. They don't know who they are anymore. And the way the jail is designed, I don't have the space to keep those people's. And you don't want somebody who's dealing with mental health isolated.
Yeah, right.
You don't want to throw them in a hole.
You don't want them isolated, but on the other hand,
but you also have to
your
be careful.
Inmates don't know how to like relate to a
and
person.
So they think
who's
they're
really
just being aggressive
Ill.
Or violent.
So
they're trying to defend themselves.
It's just a cocktail that sets up
really
a lot of problems.
My nephew Tyler Wilson was in that stage 3 years ago, 3 and 4 years ago. He was one of them guys walking the road, slinging his arms, just talking to himself. Every neighbor, they walk through somebody's yard, they call the law, they carry me in. And, we put him at God's House of Hope. It was a year-long program. And I think during that year, that was time for him to get his mind. And, now today he's married, got kids coming, he's got a job he works. He actually works 2 jobs. But I think some of these guys, it's a long-term program.
Yeah, and it is. And I just don't think the courts and the laws are where it needs to be right now. Mm. There's a lot more work that needs to be done.
I've said all along 2 things in the state of Mississippi that needs to be revamped was the MDLC program and the education program. So, Sheriff, we're grateful for you, thankful for you. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap this show up with Sheriff Ben Caldwell.
Thank you.
Group is a full-service real estate agency located in downtown Corinth. Our agents service all of Northeast Mississippi and Southwest Tennessee, including the Pickwick Lake area. If you would like to talk real estate, please call or text us at 662-415-5922. You can also email us at info@wilcocorinth.com. You can also check out our website for some free content on the home buying or home selling process at wilcocorinth.com.
Bain & Bowen, attorneys at law, are proud to be a part of this program. At Bain & Bowen, they know that going through a legal dispute can be a frustrating and scary process. They can help you with a wide range of legal issues, including criminal cases, divorce and family law issues, as well as personal injury cases. Bain & Bowen, attorneys at law, will pursue the best course of action and get you the outcome you deserve. For all your legal needs, call Bain & Bowen at 662-287-1620. That's 286-1620. If you live in Tishomingo, Belmont, Iuka, Burnsville, and the surrounding area, Gatlin's Pharmacy, 18 First Avenue in Tishomingo, is your one stop for all your pharmacy needs. Gatlin's Pharmacy has programs available that will save you time and money. They offer a discount program that is unique to our area. Do you have a parent or loved one who needs help keeping up with their medicines? Gatlin's Pharmacy will do the work for you. They will package your prescriptions for date and time and deliver them to you. Give Gatlin's Pharmacy a call and find out why they are way more than just a pharmacy. Gatlin's Pharmacy, 662-438-6605.
Here's to choice, to making your voice be heard, to getting exactly what you want, especially when you eat. At Subway restaurants, you choose your freshly baked bread, meats, cheese, and veggies to make a sub that's just right for you. Come in and create yours today. Subway, eat fresh.
Now back to Hope with Tommy Wilson, Bobby Capps, and Ronnie Martin.
Well, we welcome you back to our last segment here of our show, and I'm here with Bobby Capps and Sheriff Ben Caldwell. We've been talking to the sheriff. Listen, Sheriff, how old was you when you started law enforcement?
So I just got out of the Marine Corps, and I was 24 years old. I just turned 25. 24,
did you come to work for the city of Corinth?
I went to work for the city of Corinth.
Was David Lancaster?
Ned was the chief. Ned was there when I got hired. He's the one that hired me.
Yeah.
Worked there a little over 4 years, then went to work for the Mississippi Bureau of Narcotics.
Yeah, and so you was young, 24 years old. What if you got a 21, 22-year-old guy here, maybe 24, that's coming out of the military or just finishing school or just trying to figure out what he wants to do, and he wants to go in law enforcement.
Yep.
What should he do?
So if 18 years old, you can work in the jail, but you got to be 21 or you've got to turn 21 before you graduate the police academy and become a certified police officer or deputy. And so, we're blessed that not blessed that I have a small department, but I'm blessed that what I have is a pretty good core group of guys. And I don't have a lot of turnover in my agency. The board of supervisors have worked really well with me. And we've added, I tell you what, when I got elected, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, we've added, I know, 4 patrol deputies. So that's one per shift. We've added an investigator position, and we've added 3 school resource officers. And this past year, they've given me my budget where I could add 2 more for that swing shift.
That's huge.
Man, it's big.
That's huge. You just added an investigator. You added 3 school sources. You added more patrol.
That's right.
Stuff. So that's huge.
Yeah, it is big. And so, like I said, but most of my guys, they hang around. They're good guys. So, but anytime somebody's interested in we're coming to work for us, we recommend they start in the jail. If we're going to hire somebody, we look in the jail first. Unfortunately, a lot of times, we're hiring people that are already certified, that have already been through the academy, have worked somewhere else, just because we're such a small agency that we need somebody immediately out there on the road. Because if you do that other process, we have sent guys to the academy, but you're talking about a 12-week academy. And then they got to come off out of that, and they got to go through an FTO program. So it takes time and a lot of money to invest in somebody to get them out there working, you know, working by themselves. But we like to recommend somebody working in the jail. And, yeah. And look, and the jail's not a bad job. You're in there 12 hours with inmates, but you know, we've gotten the pay up there. When I got elected, it was $8 an hour. Now they start out at $16 an hour. So it's
16
a good,
bucks.
Yeah. And it's, and that's, you're talking about state retirement insurance.
Yeah, insurance.
Yep.
State and you ain't, retirement.
You ain't got to dig no ditches. You ain't got to put up no shingles. It's not a physically demanding job, but it is a mentally demanding job.
Right, Sheriff. Right, quick. What about the juvenile detention center? I mean, you was talking during the break. I've been in the school system for about 12 years or longer, going over to the alternative school and just sitting with kids. I've brought you over several times, and. At your juvenile detention center, you got counties from all around North Mississippi to bring kids here?
Yeah, we house, you know, that's one good thing is we have the space available. We can house, you know, juveniles from all over North Mississippi.
So there's in the juvenile thing, right there, right quick, what's the youngest they can be put in there?
There's one law that says 12 and one law that says 13. So we're going with 13. We don't hold them unless they're 13 years old, and it's a little different with the juveniles. So, you know, if I go out here and pull a car over and somebody has possession of marijuana or somebody has committed a crime, I can bring that person to jail in the county jail. But if they're under age of 18, then we have to call the judge, the youth court judge, which is April Braddock. Yeah. She's our youth court judge.
We got a good one.
Yeah, we do, and we have to get a verbal order from her. So we can't just bring somebody, a juvenile, to jail.
Yeah.
She has to authorize that. So, you know, we're seeing everything from family disturbance where, you know, they're causing problems with family. Yeah. They're tearing stuff up at home.
So, man, I'd love to do a whole show just on kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because that's a big deal. How do you help parents, you know, with their own cordial right. child?
Maybe we
can like
invite
that.
The judge.
That would be a good thing because, like I said, yeah. The judge and then the youth court counselor, they handle most of that. We just house them.
So, Sheriff, your hands is full every day. Just the daily routine, the daily schedule of the sheriff. When you leave your house, your plate's full all day.
Yep. You never know what's going to happen.
No. Yeah. So I'm praying for peaceful. Sheriff, if we can help, we want to help. You know that. And so we're thankful for our partnership and friendship with the Alcorn County Sheriff's Department, the city of Corinth, and the other surrounding areas. We're thankful that we got a man like you in our office that's willing to reach out sometimes and help get help.
Well, we work really well together, and I just want to thank the citizens of Corinth and Alcorn County because they help us tremendously, and they work with us. And like I said, the men and women that work for me make me who I am.
Yeah. Well, we usually close our show by reading a couple of verses out of Jude, but we're going to close it today by praying for you and your officers and your team. Can
That'd
we
be
do
great.
That?
That's just, sir. Thank
why
you.
Don't you. Why don't you carry us out praying?
Lord, we thank you. You're a wise God. You raised people up to help maintain the chaos that we tend to cause because we're sinners. And you ordain people to help us, including our sheriff here. We're thankful also, Lord, especially in our county, that you've given us a man who is after your own heart, who loves you and who is committed to his faith as well as to his people and his job. I pray, Lord, that you'll honor him and that you'll help his whole staff as they do their job to do it and with justice but also peace. And I just pray for that in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. We'll see you next week.